providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. We're going to switch directions just a little bit in this segment, maybe even the next segment, as we are now chatting with Sean Broderick. He is a natural resource analyst over at Weiss Ratings. And Sean, we talked to you about a wide range of markets, and that's what we're going to be doing here. Before we get into some of the individual sectors that you like, I do just want a quick little comment from you regarding the U.S. equity markets, because U.S. markets have been more volatile recently, but it still seems very prevalent that we have this buy the dip mentality still within these markets, because it was the Thanksgiving Friday news event of the COVID variant that threw the markets kind of off foot and got people a bit more fearful of more lockdowns. But now, as we've turned really the month and as we're looking to the end of this year, we're seeing, at least at the start of the week, a good start for U.S. equity markets. Sean, what's your takeaway from this volatility that we're seeing in the U.S. markets, but it's still seemingly biased to the upside?
Right. I'm going to go out on a limb here and say we are going to have a Santa Claus rally. And one thing that actually makes that possible is the recent shakeout we had, because many things were kind of puffed up anyway. So they got knocked down to more reasonable levels, like the oil and gas stock that I just recommended to my gold and silver trader subscribers, as a matter of fact. I mean, that's down maybe 15% from where we sold it. So it's a good time to buy it, you know, if like you believe in the big trend. But what happened was it has become obvious that A, the Fed is going to increase the taper. So it's going to taper faster, which means take away some of the free money that has been pumping into the markets. And also, we are going to have two rate hikes next year. And the market had a hissy fit about that. That's basically what we've been seeing, is the market throwing a tantrum saying, we hate that, we want our free money, stop taking away the punch bowl and all this stuff. So that was going on. And then we had Omicron, you know, so those two things together really work together to knock things down. Now it turns out that the Omicron variant, while it's more contagious, is not as deadly as the Delta variant and as previous variants. Well, that's great news. And in fact, I'm not sure if it was your show where I was speaking about it, or it might have been another show. That's what happened to the 1918 flu, was that eventually it evolved into a version that's very contagious, but not deadly. And from a, I'm not saying that a virus has a mind, but from a virus survival viewpoint, that's a smart way to go, because you want everybody to catch the virus if you're a virus, but you don't want to kill your host. So eventually that's what we're probably going to see happen with COVID. It's going to evolve down to something that we take shots for every year, and some people die, not a lot, and we just learn to live with it. So anyway, the market realized that Omicron wasn't as bad, so that really turned things around. And at the same time, China, which had been squeezing financial conditions in its country because it was kind of worried about a real estate bubble, decided it had squeezed too much, and so they started unsqueezing. For if you're in the commodity space, that's extremely bullish news. So we have the turnaround on COVID. We also have the turnaround on China. That's a 1-2 that's been very good for our portfolios and probably for most of your listeners as well.
Yeah, Sean, it's nice to see that at least some of the fears around the Omicron variant are easing up a little bit. But back to the Fed policy. You write on inflation a lot, Sean, and I read a lot of your pieces. And I know that longer term, when people are creating this much money supply, it leads to inflation. But there's a lot of people that are looking at the rate of change as being the key driver. So do you think if we possibly have peaked with that 6.2% hot CPI reading from October, and we see that taper down some to 5% inflation, 4% inflation moving into next year, do you think that will change the Fed's policy, or do you think they're going to have to speed up their tapering and get hiking to fight inflation? Where do your thoughts lie now based on where we're at?
Well, I'm glad you asked that question, Chad, because I have a chart that I'm sending out to subscribers on my wealth-wave.com website on Thursday, which is about what Wall Street is expecting from inflation. And they expect, we have seen peak inflation right now, and they believe inflation is going to go down in January. I do not hew to that view. I believe that we are going to see inflation continue to ramp up. I don't think we're going into runaway inflation, but I think we're going to see, at least through the middle of next year, stronger inflation, just because of all the forces that have built up in the system. There's inflation that has yet to be passed along, right? And so suppliers, they can actually say, well, we'll just eat the price hikes and not pass it along to our customers. Or in a hot market where people are buying pretty much everything, which is what we have now, they can gradually add that inflation in and hope people don't squeeze too much. And so that's kind of what we're seeing happening. So I don't think we've seen peak inflation. Is that going to force the Fed's hand? Well, they are planning in 2 interest rate hikes next year. Wouldn't be too much of a surprise if we went to 3. However, I don't think it's doom and gloom. It's just that, you know, we were in a pandemic environment for a long time. No one was buying anything. Now that the global economy is coming back, it's actually kind of good news in a way. I know everybody hates to pay higher prices. I do too. But it's a sign of economic activity. So I think the Fed has a lot to do with what happens in this market. There's so much, quote unquote, free money sloshing around, right? That's what drives up asset prices. That's been helping you and me is like we watch our positions go higher. Well, it's because the banks have nothing else to do with all this free cash. So they pour it into the stock market. And now that they think that the Fed's going to tighten up, they're not buying things so much. So that's kind of a problem. So I see that lasting into the early part of next year, maybe to the middle of next year. We are looking at the highest inflation since 1982. I think it can get higher. It won't be a straight line. There will be a dip in the inflation rate, and that's when everybody will say, okay, inflation's over, that's done. But they have to remember nothing travels in a straight line. It'll zigzag like it always does. So just get ready for more volatility on the inflation front. But for a point of good news to counter that, because now I've already talked about COVID, and I think I always say when I'm on your show, you know, there could be another COVID variant coming. I have to say that, and people say, shut up. But, you know, there probably can be another COVID variant coming. But some bullish news is that insiders are buying. I have a chart that I sent out to my gold and silver trader subscribers today, which was great, which shows insider buying, insider selling. Now, normally, insiders sell more than they buy, simply because that's one of the ways that they compensate insiders is they give them stock. So they have to sell it. But insider selling has crashed and insider buying is picking up. And so what does that tell us? That tells us that insiders believe that their share prices are going higher probably within the next 6 months. This is one of the reasons why I think we're going to have a Santa Claus rally, is because if the insiders are buying, they know things that the rest of us probably don't. And so that's kind of bullish too. So overall, I tend to be bullish on the market. I know that's a long roundabout way to answer your question, but, you know, I mean, there's a whole bunch of balls up in the air that I'm juggling here.
So Sean, one final point on inflation here. You see inflation getting even a little bit hotter from this level. What markets are you looking at that are telling you this is going to happen? Because the argument being markets are forward looking, and look, we had a lot of markets move much higher. A lot of inflation type of markets too move much higher through a lot of last year and into the start of this year, but then they topped a little bit before potentially inflation topped. What market do you think is going to show us that inflation is coming before we start to see that data?
There are 3 things that I'm actually watching on that. One is energy prices, which really, I mean, corrected hard and fast when the Omicron fear came out. Now we're seeing energy prices pick up again. Talk about resilience. The resilience in the energy space, I expect we'll see higher oil prices next year, simply because of the whole supply-demand thing. And I don't think the global economy is shutting down. And a lot of U.S. oil fields either shut down or else didn't have enough money invested in them that we're probably not going to see oil production in the U.S. pick up nearly as much as some people would like. So that's going to be a real problem. Another thing is import prices, producer import prices, which are published every month. Those point to higher prices coming through. And that's probably one of the main drivers we had. I had a column about this on WealthWave. It was either last week or the week before, just how the higher prices that the producers are already paying have to work through the system. So that's important as well. And then it's shipping delays. Now, they have done a lot of stuff to get the shipping delays down, and everyone was breathing a sigh of relief. And then the shipping delays started to come up again because people that wanted to ship stuff overseas to the U.S. Said, oh, look, they've like broken the bottleneck. We can send stuff now. So now they're shipping more stuff. So when you put these three things together, there are probably going to be higher prices. That's just the way I look at it. Now, I'm glad to change my mind. I don't want to pay higher prices any more than anyone else. I would love for some news to come along to convince me otherwise. But the way I look at it now, you know, probably in the early part of next year, maybe the middle of next year, we are going to have higher prices and hotter inflation.
So then, Sean, let's get a little bit more granular then with some of the sectors or even individual stocks that you like within some of these sectors. You have brought up energy. Care to elaborate on any certain energy metals and stocks that you like?
Well, I won't tell you the one I recommended this week, but I'll tell you the one I recommended last week, which was Chevron. I mean, man, did that go on sale. It's a fantastic oil company. Now it's a big one. And so maybe many of your listeners only want small ones. Well, let me get to my portfolios. Oh, I just clicked on the marijuana portfolio. And funny thing is, I added Planet 13 when it fell down a hole, 3 weeks ago. And I said, no way is that possible. And it got worse because of Omicron, right? Because Planet 13, I don't know if any of, I should say, I don't know if most of your listeners know this, but the thing about Planet 13 is it grows marijuana, yes, but what it's really known for is its big superstores where it sells not only its brands, but also all the other brands it can get in like Nevada. It's also in California. It's also branching out across the country. You've got licenses for Chicago and stuff like that. So it's kind of emblematic of like what could happen in the cannabis space. That's one reason I want it, because cannabis multi-state operators, they have like one business model. Planet 13 is a little different and it's a bit more edgy. And it's up like 6% at the time you and I talk. Now, this recording won't play on the same day as you and I talk, but that's an indication that the cannabis sector is about to turn around, or at least that's how I would look at it. So I think people should keep that kind of thing in mind. And then, you know, when you look at what else is going on, I mean, I like stuff like Cleveland Cliffs, which is iron, right? But it's also steel. They also bought a steel company. What was weighing on the industrial metals industry for so long was what was going on in China. People saw China pulling back, you know, starting to make money tighter, starting to really lean on like all the stuff going on there, all the activity. Well, China seems to be going the other way. That should light a fire under not only Cleveland Cliffs, but many of the better industrial metal stocks could do very, very well for you. And that's something you should keep in mind. One that's been performing well for us, and I hate to keep jumping industries, but you know, we have triple digit percentage gains on this one, and I expect we'll have much more, is Lithium Americas Corporation. Now, there's a whole bunch of good lithium stocks. There are also some that are stinkers. People should be very careful, or else they should just buy LIT, which is the ETF that holds the best stocks in the industry anyway. But Lithium Americas is doing all the right thing, and we just added one another week, which is really not mentioned right now because it's a little underwater still. But I'll talk about it another time when we talk. But this one has a new mine coming on in the middle of next year. And so that one is up strongly today. It's not quite back to where we entered, but I expect it will be soon. So lithium is an area where you can see plenty of good things on. Meanwhile, you know, so many energy stocks, oil and gas stocks, look for these stocks that are breaking their downtrends right now. That's what I would recommend to anyone right now. I mean, not the ones that are going sideways, and especially not the ones that are really burdened with debt. Because in a rising interest rate environment, this is something we all have to keep in mind, right? If interest rates are going up, companies that have to refinance their debt are going to have to pay higher interest rates. Now, most companies have some kind of debt. Some don't, but most do. And some debt's okay. But those companies that are burdened by debt, higher interest rates could be a make or break situation for those companies. So be very careful about what you buy going forward. Don't buy companies with too much debt. That could be a real problem next year if interest rates go higher, as we think they're going to do.
Well, Sean, you really covered a lot of ground there on the commodity sector and the energy sector, and great point there about some of the oil and gas companies being kind of debt laden. And so as interest rates shift, that could be a growing concern for some of those companies. One other area of the energy space besides oil and gas and lithium that we should probably mention is the uranium sector. I know you write about that. I know you follow the sector. It's had an amazing run this year. It's been one of the breakout commodities in 2021. It actually started running in 2020. Some of that's based on that physical supply situation, and some of it's just hot money, but it's had a nice correction now. There's a lot of the stocks are down 20, 30, even 40% from where they were trading just in September and October. What do you make of the uranium market setup, particularly the uranium miners?
That was a buying opportunity, and it's one I used. I hope nobody sold during that recent pullback. I can understand completely if you got disgusted and you threw up your hands and said, screw it, I'm going to go buy a bank. You know, somebody I know is going to make money in a rising interest rate environment. And I would understand that. But the big picture in uranium is so tight and so bullish longer term that I think you have to have at least something in this industry. My uranium stocks are doing very, very well today. And again, it'll be a zigzag thing. Now, uranium is off highs it hit just a couple months ago. That's a shame. And I think that took some of the wind out of the sector. But don't you worry, it's coming back. Of course, you know, as we have more and more of these funds, and it seems like a new one is created every other month, that buy physical uranium, that's going to soak up the excess supply on the market. And it's going to get to a drum-tight situation, and then it's going to be the thing where it's empty. And then what are you going to do? Then you're going to see prices take off. So uranium is one of the things I'm most bullish on. It's just to really confound my critics, I have no idea when it's going to happen, but I wouldn't miss out this coming move in uranium for the world. I think it's going to be fantastic.
Sean, one other point that I wouldn't mind chatting with you about is also base metals, because you have alluded to some of them there. But look, copper, a great example, has just gone sideways in a choppy manner here. And the copper stocks have largely lagged that copper move, that strong copper move from the COVID washout. Are you seeing opportunity here, at least in the short term?
Well, I own copper stocks already. I'm not actually looking to buy more right now, if like that's any kind of an answer for you. And sure, we have seen the price of copper move sideways. A lot of it has to do with China, and I hate to keep coming back to that, but people were really worried that China was going to crack down on all sorts of things. And so copper kind of... And because copper miners are leveraged to the underlying metal, they really got caught in that, you know? And so it was kind of a grind for many of them. And that's no fun. But on the other hand, at least now, China looks like it's going back to a more easy money policy. If they just announce lower reserve requirements for the banks, which they did, and they're still trying to stimulate the economy, the next thing they'll probably do, or at least one of the next things, will be more public works projects. What is that? That's very good for copper. It always is. And so, you know, I can understand why people would be disappointed. We're well off those October highs. And many people looked at the high in October and the high we had back in May and say, aha, that's a double top in copper. Yeah, but just look at the supply-demand situation. It's extremely rare that we see new copper mines built. The older ones are really using up the high grade stuff. What's going to be left? You know, there's a big supply demand squeeze. We can't go through the rest of the 21st century without either more copper or else used in much better ways. So that's a situation and a story that looks incredibly bullish to me.
Well, Sean, just one more area that we should touch on. If we're discussing commodities, we're talking about China, we're talking about energy, are some of the strategic metals, in specific, the rare earth elements. I've started to notice on a lot of chat forums, more discussion about it, more discussion about supply chains, getting rare earths out of China and into North America or Australia. Do you have any thoughts on the rare earth sector before we wrap up?
Well, I mean, if anyone likes the rare earths, and God knows I wrote a report about it earlier this year, I like them. REMX, which is the VanEck Vectors Rare Earth Strategic Metals ETF. God, that's a mouthful. really, they have to reconsider that one. Anyway, during this latest sell-off, the thing pulled back to its 50-day moving average. That's a buying opportunity. If you want to be in rare earths, you know, you should be either buying REMX or else buying the leading companies in that fund that are available to buy in whatever country you're in. Some of the stocks it owns, we in the U.S. can't buy easily, which is one of the nice things about that fund. But some we can. And so, you know, keep that in mind. I like some Australian companies. I think there's strong potential there. Again, as we move toward the future, we're going to be using more lithium, which we've already talked about. We're going to be using more rare earths. That's what the new technology takes. So we had kind of a break, though REMX just hit a new high in what, November, I think? So, you know, that one hasn't been on that much of a break, but it did pull back to its 50-day moving average. So if you're looking for a buying opportunity, I think that's probably as close as you'll get. You could wait for it to pull back to its uptrend, which is a little lower, but, you know, and eventually it will go to its uptrend. The question is when. So I like rare earths. I like select companies in rare earths. Some have actually treated me badly this year, and shame on them, but some have done pretty well. So, you know, I'll still keep playing the rare earth space. It's not as easy to play rare earths as it is some other metals. You have to keep that in mind, too. That's why buying an ETF is actually not a bad thing to do for something like this, because sometimes it gets really tough. But I think that's a good space to be in as well.
Sean, I love that comment. Shame on you, stock, for going down. That's the way that I think all investors should look at it. Because you know what? You're out there trying to pick out these stocks that you think have some upside in them. And for resource investors, man, oh man, you need to be selective this year in terms of the sectors that you are in and those stocks. Because even in an environment where we saw at least a handful of sectors, resource sectors move higher, sometimes those stocks did lag as well. Sean, as always, man, thank you for your time. Everybody, thank you for tuning in to this weekend show. I hope you all enjoyed the show as well as all our daily editorials that we recorded throughout the week. Please be sure to go back through our website, kereport.com, and listen to all those editorials and let us know what you think, especially of the companies that we interviewed this week. Sean, everybody, hope you all have a great rest of your week.
Thanks very much.